I call to the December 6, 2018 Committee of the Whole meeting of the Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
7 p.m. Member Boren?
Yes.
Member Kimball?
Yes.
Member Ludden?
Yes.
Member Underdonk?
Here.
Chair Brooks?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, clearly nobody here to share their thoughts. Lisa, do you have a recommendation yet about the letter that
Oh, yes, we do not have to read it or include our minutes unless you want
Okay, and I'm referring to a letter that all the board members received from a constituent.
Is that Mr. Cohen?
Correct.
Yes.
I haven't been able to retrieve it.
Well, you could read it at a different time.
I'll make sure you get it.
Yeah.
Talk to you after the meeting.
Okay.
He had asked that I read it, but since we've all received it, and that is not protocol, he was unable to be at the meeting tonight. We've all read it.
Yeah, he requested to be read at this meeting and put in minutes, but we're not required to do that.
Okay,
so discussion of the three-year capital plan. Lisa Shepherd, the executive director, will lead the discussion.
All right. Okay, so I hope you all read your packets.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of good discussion on our Fund 69. So, you know, Fund 69 are projects that are large, projects that are generated out of our master plan. So we, as we left our last discussion on this, the North Schumann Overlook was advanced for the project. So now I'm looking for us to decide, hopefully move on at least next year so that we can start the budget process, putting in the budget at the December meeting. So I kind of outlined some different things, took some questions that I got prior to the meeting and put them in the memo, and then since then I got a little bit more questions so I can answer those also. So I thought we'd just go down through some of the projects, some of the bigger ones, and talk about those. Thank you for those who came and went on the tour of the playground and the IT closet, which is Fund 65 discussion. So let's start out with the Take Up Early Childhood Playground. Is there any questions related to that I can help you with? I can just give, if you don't mind, if you don't have questions, I can give some of the questions I got prior to this. So why the $525 amount when most of our playgrounds are like in the $225? So obviously, if you've seen that space, which you all have, it's not a normal play space. The topography is totally different than any of our areas. It has to abut to our building because it's for our early childhood program, which means it had to be built up onto, I guess, a hill or a mound. And it's the retaining wall is what is holding in all the dirt and the infrastructure on there. So we have to look at that. We have to look at the topography, the different grades that we're going to look at. If you remember when you went into the playground, we have different areas where the kids can jump down. And while that's fun, it sometimes causes a safety hazard, so we have to look at that. Different heights of the whole playground, we have to work that in. That costs a little bit more. It needs lights, water drinking fountain, new drinking fountains. There's grade changes, drainage. We know that that's definitely an issue. The exits, there's many different facility exits on this one. We have fencing, which we have to have, which is different than most of our playgrounds. Synthetic turf surfacing, and then the play equipment, which actually really is only probably about $100,000 of this whole project. With this play space, what we don't know is how well that retaining wall is holding up. And so that's when we go into detailed design, we haven't even had a concept on this. We'll find out by the engineers if we have to replace that retaining wall. We're looking for the retaining wall to last as long as the life of this equipment. So when we go into the project, we're going to ask the engineer, would this retaining wall last for 15 to 20 years? That's what we estimate the playground lasting. And we're saying 15 because it's such a high-use playground. We don't know, just like Friends, we see that's high-use playground, and it may not last the whole time. If we don't need to do the retaining wall, we're not going to do the retaining wall. So we would back those costs out of it. And So we're really basing our budget on the worst-case scenario for this playground, and then we'll go from there. So any questions on TACOF?
How do we sequence that in our budgeting process?
What do you mean?
Well, we have, before we really can design the facility, don't we need to know if the retaining wall can hold?
Right, so that's part of the design development. We'd have an engineer come out. So we would have to sign a contract with a landscape architect and then begin the design process for it.
If I understood you correctly, Lisa, the $525,000 includes the cost of fixing the retaining
yes.
wall if it needs to be.
If it needs to. If it doesn't.
If it does not need it, then
right.
the cost would come down substantially.
Right.
But
exactly.
how much?
And we don't know that, but what we can do,
yeah.
because we don't know how much that retaining wall will cost. The engineers would tell us. So what we can do is when we're working on this project, we go and say, you know, if give us a price of how much it would cost to put in a retaining wall that would last 15 to 20 years. And then we'd ask them the question, do we need to repair or replace that? If we don't, we take out that amount that they had told us it would cost to take that out of the budget.
So they'll say, you don't need to do it, it's fine, and they'll also give us a cost if
they
we did
us,
need to do it,
yeah.
this is how much it would be,
yeah.
because otherwise the designers won't know what
Correct.
What our budget is
right.
for the playground.
Right.
So how are we comfortable that $525 would cover a retaining wall if we needed it?
Again, it's a budgeted amount, and we are just, it's a guess. It's a guesstimate
okay, so
of what we need. In our professional opinion,
would,
we think that will cover it. Yeah.
Cover it.
Yeah.
Well,
isn't that similar if you're taking inflation into account to what they spent originally?
Right.
It's less than.
Actually, no, it's not less than. It's about the same, a little bit more. So it's 486, the original one.
And the retaining wall I saw was like 130,
mm-hmm.
maybe. I mean, all of the landscaping, including, I mean, the cement and the infamous, whatchamacallit.
Yeah, we don't have a breakdown of exactly what it was, so
yeah.
we can't really give you an answer of how
okay.
much the retaining wall
okay.
would be.
I just looked at cement work
yeah.
and the landscape people.
Yeah,
right.
It's in there
together,
somewhere.
But we don't have it broken out.
Yeah, right. Okay.
That's great. They,
okay.
they sometimes lump landscaping, and it could be grading, it could be, you know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of things they put in the landscaping budget, so.
Would it be better to contract separately for that study than having to go through a landscape architect and then they sub it out to somebody else?
No. It's we don't have a big staff. So what we do is we hire a landscape architect
mm-hmm.
and then the engineer works for them and they work together as a unit.
So it's effective because if we hire a separate third party, they're not accountable for the cost that they give us for the wall. So if we've been working with the same civil engineer for the last 3 years, they have some skin in the game wanting to come back here and work on our other projects.
I think two concerns are, one is, you know, the bigger the cost, the bigger the design fee. And that's why we were kind of wondering if you could split that off.
Well, you still have to pay for the engineer, so it's no different.
But isn't it different if it's so, like, let's say Altamanu is the designer, they're getting paid on the cost of the total project, is that correct? Their percentage
yes.
comes off
yeah.
the cost of the total project.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that they have to design the retaining wall even though it's already designed?
No, it's not.
Well, essentially what's there, either it's going to fail or it's not, you're not going to you're going to just repair that.
No, we have to wait for the civil engineer to tell us what we have to do. So it may not, if it's repairable, then we can repair it. If it's not repairable, they may recommend a totally different method to do the retaining wall so that it does last 20 years. We don't want to put in exactly what it has because it only lasted 10 years, and we want something, if it is failing now, we want something that lasts 20 years.
It almost sounds like this is like a giant contingency fund. You know what I mean? Like, if the retaining wall is going to require engineered design and build, then we need a fund for that. We need money set aside for that. But if it doesn't, we just continue on with the playground. Isn't that kind of the way it is or not? Am I missing
no.
something?
We look at it as a total project cost.
Okay.
To do the project, because we can't do one without the other.
Right. And you can't do the retaining wall first, though.
Yeah, that would be part of the whole project. So you don't want to you're doing it all together at the same time. They'll do probably the retaining wall first, without a doubt, and then they would move on to the rest of the playground.
If we don't do the retaining wall, if we don't need to do it, what are we putting in this playground? What amount of money are we assigning to
this
playground?
We don't know until we know how much that retaining wall costs.
So that'll vary depending on what the retaining wall costs?
Right, so because we're just guessing. We haven't gone into design development, so
right.
I can't tell you exactly how much each component will cost until we get there, until we have the design yet.
Okay.
It's a
budget.
Just
wondering, what is our budget for the playground if the retaining wall is not an
it's,
issue?
It's the play area.
Play area, yes.
So my guess would be about $400,000.
Okay.
And that's just, we haven't gone through the design development yet.
Okay.
Might come back and the teachers
fees.
Want this and the board wants this, it may go up, may go down.
Okay.
It's a budget.
Okay. So that helps me, actually, because I feel like the playground has a budget that we don't know what it is, and because it could be $495,000, it could be $350,000, you know, it's sort of very variable because of this big chunk that we just don't know if it's going to be an issue or not. I hope it isn't. And by the way, isn't there something they can do with retaining walls to just retain the retaining wall? I mean, is it we've got to remove the whole thing and rebuild it, or is it?
We don't know yet.
That's one of the questions we need to ask.
Yeah, right.
We haven't decided.
In other words, there's lots of questions.
Right, because we're not in design development.
Okay.
We haven't done any.
You need the sandbags from
Look at that. That's costing that retaining wall is costing what, $325,000?
Yeah. You know, the thing about it is, an engineer is going to use unit costs. They're going to have 40 similar projects to look at, and they're going to be able to say the wall is X high and X long. This is what I think it's going to cost. We're not going to have Ultima New design all the way to the bid level a retaining wall and then make the decision not to do it.
Right.
We're going to have that
right.
give us basically like we did with a master plan, a concept cost, and then that engineering assessment will say thumbs up or thumbs down, and we'll be able to report back to the board. They estimated it at this cost. We are not recommending pursuing that based on their recommendations.
Right.
I think what's upsetting is there's no one in this room is responsible, but everything that's out there should have lasted longer, and it's just really sad. It's a lot of wasted money. It's not like anyone's responsible. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
But, you know.
We don't. For a minute, I looked at you, Bob. Oh, my God, Bob. No, you weren't. Bob had nothing to do with it.
You know, $481,000 not that long ago, it's just a real waste to have to redo everything. I mean, I think whatever could be, kept should be kept because.
I'm sorry, how long ago did we spend the 481?
10 years ago. And there's
a lot of playgrounds are lasting.
What?
10 years. Huh? All the wood ones are lasting like 10 years.
Yeah, that's what they're all lasting. So they've lasted how long a life of a wood playground is.
But this isn't just the playground. This is
the play area.
Surface, the wall.
And again, we don't.
Cement,
and surface lasts about 10 years too. That's the life of a surface too.
Does the technology come into play to make things last longer now, though?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the coatings on surfaces, the warranties. Hard because, as I said when we went out, it's hard to speak ill of what came before, because you don't know the circumstances, you know, and had they done that playground like we're doing playgrounds now, maybe it would have been a $750,000 playground, and maybe that 481 was,
they
just
afford.
Need to get it here and get it here now.
Right.
Well, and I am going to make a leap here that the staff we have in place is paying very close attention to the product we're getting and the installation, and we're keeping our tabs on things so that if something is not done right, we catch it immediately.
I'm not going to go back and, it's hard to go back to the past and say that's what happened. It could have been that the building was over budget and they needed a playground to open that daycare and the preschool, and they could afford the wood playground, so that's what they had to do at that time.
As a community.
Yeah.
I think you'll back me up on this, Carol. Glencoe preferred, this goes back way before my time on the board, but has always preferred a more naturalistic, you know, I think I mentioned the challenges we had when we changed Friends Park.
That's true.
And how people went crazy over it in some ways, about why you're making this Disney World, because we were taking up with structures because we recognized that we simply couldn't do that anymore. I didn't know the reasons Chris gave, but we just knew they weren't lasting as long.
Right.
So And there were other reasons also, but that was part of it. So probably back then it was like, this is the standard Glencoe.
Mm-hmm.
We're already building a building that has a certain amount of controversy in the community. Do we really want to rock the boat even more by proposing some color or
metal playground?
Yeah, I know.
Well,
inside the framework of managing a 19, what was the full of the project, Carol?
Well, it was supposed to be $14 million, and it grew to over $21
million.
Oh,
so in the scope of
a
$21 million playground project, having an additional, you know, 1 or 2%, I would imagine the playground probably wasn't the primary focus of the staff or contractors and the board at that time.
Well, right. I think the culture of the community is more interested in a daycare program now. I mean, I think things have changed. Let's put it that way. When this was built, we almost got rid of daycare.
Yeah.
Now it's a really important element in this community.
Right.
So that certainly changes the value of this, of course.
Yeah, and the focus, because now the kids aren't on here for just like maybe half hour or not even 15, 20 minutes when you're in preschool. We're looking for our all-day childcare students that are here from 6:30 to 6 p.m., we're looking for them to be outside at least 2 hours a day. You know, I have this great analogy that I don't know if you told me this or someone else did, that prison inmates.
Then it was probably me. I love talking about prisoners.
Yes, that they get two hours out on the outside a day, and they said, well, how would you feel if we took that away from you, that 2 hours? Like, oh no, that'd be awful. It would be such a poor part of life. And the study done that kids get less than 2 hours outside a day. You know, so one of our big mandates, when possible, they go outside. They're out there in the snowstorm shoveling. They're the little shovels and they're sledding. It was adorable. But we want to get them outside because that kind of play is so important to their learning and their development. So that's why when we look at the take-off playground, we want to use every space of it to give that play experience to in whatever way that would go, in many different ways, because children prefer to play, as you know, in many different ways. And now we have younger kids there. We have to have abilities for them to use that.
I think to Stephanie's point, you know, for me, I would hate to have to spend money on that retaining wall. I mean, we're going into
we would hate to.
Trying to save those shade structures, trying to save that retaining wall. I mean, that's such a boring thing to spend money on, right?
Right. We'd rather spend
it. You know, it's hard because I feel the same way you do, that, you know, you think, wow, hindsight is always 20/20. You know, how could we have spent this much money and now we're back dealing with it again?
But it's,
okay. So is there a way that we can request that when you begin working with playground designers, you convey to them that the board is really strongly desiring them to you called it value engineering, to keep that shade structure unless it is absolutely impossible to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
To do some of the things, keep the lights, add another one if we need another one, do all of the things and create a nature space that isn't that expensive. And I know the equipment is quite inexpensive for a playground of this magnitude. I think $100,000 seems low. Mm-hmm. And maybe consider some of these movable pieces, especially for the little ones. Do just say the feeling of the board is really sharpen your pencils.
Well, what we'll do is, and we never tell you this, but you give us a mount, and we always tell the architects lower than that. So when they get creative, when they get creative, then we have a little more wiggle room because they always get creative thinking, oh, well, they'll want this. So we always tell them lower anyways. Chris and I already had a discussion about being able to, let's see if we can save those shade structures. And the only caveat we have is if they come back and say, well, to save the shade structures, it's going to actually cost you $25,000 more because we have to work around those or for whatever reason, and we'll come back to you and say, what's more important, saving the $6,000 shade structure or, you know, but that's going to be one of my things. I walk in, I want those shade structures saved because they're only 6 years old, you know.
Right, right.
And I want you to really look at their training wall and tell us, you know, how long. We don't want to spend, we know we have 10 years worth of projects, so we always value engineer. You don't even see all the stuff that before it even comes to your desk, how we bring things down. And that's just part of what we our normal operations when we're designing playgrounds.
Right. And with our mandate for sustainability, it really is part of what we desire to do, is not to throw away things that are perfectly good. So that's all
exactly
part of what...
If we can, if it doesn't...
Yeah.
Like you said, you know...
How do we go forward from this, I mean, from my comfort level, I often think about how do you deal with uncertainty? And one way you deal with it is with phases. And so I feel that we need to know how, kind of the status and how expensive those expensive elements are, like the retaining wall and the shade and whatever else can be saved before we're going to be able to have an idea of how much we can spend on the other things in the.
Well, how will you manage?
Well, we'll
do that.
Yeah, we will. We have a budget to spend. So if the retaining wall costs $200,000, then we have $325,000 to spend on the rest of the playground. Right, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's what basically what we said. I mean,
because
$325,000.
Because we need a playground, and if we are retaining, they say we have to replace the retaining wall. It costs $200,000. Then we have to replace the retaining wall.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need a playground, right?
Yeah.
And so then we
that's
have a, the remaining $225,000 to do the rest of the stuff that's required of us through DCFS and the playground and the play features.
Is there a reason we cannot have a playground budget and a contingency budget for the retaining wall?
No, because they're a package deal. You can't do one without the other.
Well, we don't necessarily know that because we don't know if we need the retaining wall.
Right, then we just won't do that part. But we were approaching it as a project. And like I said, if we don't have to do the retaining wall, we just won't do the retaining wall.
But I don't think that extra money shouldn't have to go back into what we think it's going to cost for a playground. It should just go back into the budget.
Which it will.
It will. Oh, that's definitely where it will go.
We're not asking you for $525,000. What we're asking is to put that amount in the budget. You guys still have to approve the contracts for everything related to this project.
Mm-hmm. But what we're asking is, what is the max on the playground?
What is the cap that we want to spend
on the playground?
That is what we're asking.
The total project budget is $525,000.
Right, but what is the max on this playground?
We haven't done design development yet. So if you want to tell us max will be $400,000 for everything, then...
You know, I think there's a way of looking at this, which is great. I mean, if I had to sell it to people, and I don't, because I'm waiting in a few
years. Bob.
And I actually never worried about it to begin with. I just let people scream at me and went home. But, I mean, here's one way to look at it. We're going to, if we approve a project that is a total budget, potential budget for $525,000, which we sort of have to approve because otherwise we don't have the money to do it. And then we come back and we're going to be involved in every step, or you guys will be. I mean, you know, whoever's on the board will be involved in every step of the way afterwards. You know, let's say the retaining wall comes back and it's like, no, we don't need to do it. Well, yeah, we thought it might cost up to $200,000, but probably not. So you might have $325,000 back, but then somebody may say, well, what if we added this thing? It costs $20,000, $30,000. And as a group, you think, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Then you get up to like $350,000, $360,000. Dan Dorfman is still writing a story at the end of the day that we budgeted something at $525,000, and thanks to the careful work of the Glencoe Park District Board, it now costs $350,000, $360,000. So you get it, the best of all possible worlds. You get the playground you want. You give yourself enough cushion on it. If the retaining wall has to be done, it has to be done. And nobody is going to, there is nobody in this community who's going to say to you, I wouldn't say nobody, but most people are not going to turn around and say to you, no, we would rather not have children have a playground, particularly because it would mean children leaving our programs.
Well, nobody's saying that.
No, that's what I'm saying. So all I'm saying is this, I think you've got the best of possible worlds here, though. You know, and I think, you know, in my experience, people are pretty careful about what they're going to spend. You know, if anything, I would argue maybe when the project was done 10 years ago, which again was before my time, but it was done with a look at the budget and being very cut because the rest of the thing went over budget, and to look at it and say, well, let's cut back here. And so we wind up 10 years later having to pay the price by sort of redoing it. Mm-hmm. I would love to make it so whatever board is here in 20 years, when I'm someplace else, will look at it and think, or 15 years from now, will think, oh, good, I don't have to do this project because these guys did it right the last time.
When you consider, too, you know, we're also looking at Fund 65 tonight, and there's necessary repairs, I understand, for this building, though, and a lot of that is in early childhood wing. So there's a lot of other money that has to be spent in this building next year. So,
and we have the money for it, because after the last 4 years, they put $2 million into the program.
Right.
Into the, and that goes to the playground, that goes to building funds. You know, they have set aside
so
that money for not the playground and not and the rest of the building improvements.
Right. But I think that what we're trying to get across is it'd be nice if the designers could be really creative and not just see this huge budget number and give us that budget.
I don't think they do that. In fact, in the past, they have done things lower than a budget, and then we go back to the community and they say we want this and this and this, and that was sometimes is what drives up the price of the playgrounds.
So a lot of what we've seen initially is a plan that's too expensive and we've had to get rid of things that we like because they don't really give us what's just the budget. In terms of, the, you know, they give us a lot of great creative things, but it's usually above what we budgeted. So here we're saying give us a lot of creative things. You know, it doesn't have to be huge structures. It could be spinners, this, you know, more natural. Give us something that actually